Hallelujah. There's definitely an art to be doing the announcements. I think Brother Earl found that out last week, too. Pastor Ricky was laughing so hard up here because he's like, yeah, that's like me trying to do the announcements. So anyways, and we were, Pastor and I were just laughing about that word extravaganza, too, because instead of doing a cleaning day, we don't call it cleaning day anymore. We call it the cleaning extravaganza, and we had a great turnout, and I think they're trying that word on everything that we need people to. So now, yes, so participate in that. Buy some candy for the kids. Let's bless them this Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many know what we've been speaking about on Wednesdays? We've been learning about. Does anybody remember? The power of the blood. If we were in the kids' class, the answers are usually Jesus or God. So that's what they're, yeah, and then, yep, you're right, and yeah. So the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know we need to know that there's power in the blood of Jesus? Amen. Sometimes we, hallelujah, not this church, but we don't, as a church body of Jesus Christ, we do not want to be stepping away from the blood of Jesus and everything that he did on that cross for us. Amen. And we need to dig into this and know what the blood of Jesus actually did for our life. So first we started talking about, we just went through lots of scriptures about the power of the blood and how that applies to our life with protection and healing and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And there was a ton of scriptures dealing with the blood of Jesus and what it does for us personally. And then last week we started going into the covenant, because you can't get very far talking about the blood of Jesus until you talk about the covenant. And sometimes we have to go into these scriptures, maybe these books of the Bibles that are kind of like stuck together a little bit, and we have to open them up and we have to dig a little further and we have to know some more about covenant and some funny words like atonement and different things that we don't normally use maybe nowadays, but we do need to know what that's for. We talked about a couple of people. There was Dr. David Livingston. Do you guys remember him from last week? And Dr. Stanley. And how those two men charted basically Africa. And there was a couple stories that I talked about with Dr. Stanley. How he had to make this covenant with this warring tribe. And he had to give up his beautiful white sheep for this ugly copper rod that he didn't really know, until later on he found out everywhere that he went, people would literally bow because of the covenant he had made and what he held up. And know what? We have a covenant. Glory to God. And every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. Because we have the blood of Jesus, and that's what we're holding up. Amen. We talked about the cursings and the blessings. Glory to God, the blessing. It's so good to know about those. But also, we had to go through the cursing. We had to know that the other side of that. We had to know that, because if we don't know what we're redeemed from, we will not have an appreciation of what Jesus actually did. And we need to know the ugliness of sin and the gruesomeness of these cursings and how awful Satan is and what he's here to steal, kill, and destroy, and what Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? Glory to God. So tonight, we're going to take it a step further. Are we ready for this? We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about the Abrahamic covenant. We're going to talk about Moses. If we get there, we're going to talk about Moses and the law and what the blood covenant does with the law. And we're going to go into the priesthood in a little bit. So let's get started. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Hebrews 8:6. Let's go into Hebrews 8:6. And you can just keep it in the New King James Version, please, Miss Tracy, back there. We also talked about what a blood covenant is, what a covenant is. Sometimes that's such a weird word for us because we don't understand what that word means. And I associated it to, sometimes we think of it as a contract. It's not really a contract, because a contract, this person has to do this, you do this, someone breaks it, you don't have to fulfill your half. And that is not a covenant. A covenant is closely, the thing, the idea that we can try to grasp onto the idea of the covenant is a promise. Because promise takes away whatever that person does, I still will fulfill my promise. And I will still, it's based on character and your word. Hallelujah. That is covenant. Amen. Hebrews 8:6, here we go. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hallelujah. We have a better covenant. Amen. We have better promises. Glory to God. So as we go through this, we can think in our head, hey, mine's even better. My covenant's even better than what they had. Amen. Glory to God. A true blood covenant. All right, let's see, I just talked about that then, okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:9. Glory to God. One of the things about this God talks about is how long is this covenant supposed to last? What is this covenant that we're talking about? God has something to say about it, amen? Deuteronomy 7:9. Please. That is it? Okay. I looked at the bottom number. There we go. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. Can we say the faithful God? The faithful God, glory, who keeps his covenant. He keeps his covenant. Amen? Keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. But not only that, we have a better covenant. Glory to God. And we know that it's established on better promises, and it's established on the blood of Jesus. And we know that covenant is forever established. Amen. Glory to God. It's forever sealed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Last week, we also talked about Adam. He was the first person to sin. He was the first person to step out of what God wanted him to do, was to break what God asked him to do. We call that when you step out of, when you go against, when you disobey, we call that sin. That's what that is. You go against what God has told you to do. And we call that sin. Sometimes in church, people try to step away from the word sin too. But we need to have that word. We need to know what that word means. So we know how we can come back into relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And we know that the power of the blood of Jesus is there to forgive. Glory to God. Adam sinned. He actually created treason. He stepped into treason. He did treason against God. Everything that God had given to Adam, authority, prosperity, everything, the world was given to him. And when he went against God, it went into the hands of Satan. Treason was done. Now Satan had the authority that was not given to him originally. Not only that, but death came into the world. And now God had to, he made a way, a plan of redemption. Another word, redemption. Let's see when this plan of redemption was established. Let's go over to Revelations 13:8. When did this plan actually get started? Well, God knew that if there was blood, if he made people to have a free will, because we're not robots, amen? We are not robots. He made man so that we could worship him and have fellowship with God. But he didn't want to make somebody that somehow was made to worship him. What does that? That doesn't mean anything. I mean, if your kids are made to say, I love you, it doesn't mean anything anymore. But when they have a free will, and when you have fellowship, open fellowship with somebody else that wants to fellowship with you, glory to God, what a wonderful blessing that is. Amen? And that's how God created us. Revelations 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundations of the world. From the foundations of the world. When did this redemption plan start? The foundation of the world. He knew if there was man that has a free will, that has blood flowing in his veins, then he was going to make this plan of redemption. Glory to God. So he was thinking of us even at the foundations of the world. Amen. He put into motion his plan to rescue man from this illegitimate authoritarian named Satan, to whom Adam had bowed his knee and yielded his God-given authority through disobedience. Now we see that there is a change. As we go through the Bible, we get introduced to somebody named Abram. And things start to turn around. The plan starts to take shape. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 15. And we're going to read a little bit through here. Sometimes we read through the Bible, we don't know why did this happen? Why is this important? Why is this in the Bible? Why is this right here? And we're going to figure that out. And I'm just going to start with, let's see here. I'm going to start with verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Hallelujah. God is our exceedingly great reward. Amen. But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I am childless?" And that statement right there actually says to us, Abraham believed in God, but he was having a little bit of trouble believing God. How many has been in that situation? Or yes, Lord, we understand, I believe in you, I understand that, but deep down inside, we're looking on the inside, having trouble believing God. Amen, but he is a faithful God, amen? Hallelujah. But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I am childless and the heir of my house, Eleazar of Damascus?" Abraham said, "Since you have not given me any children, my heir is a servant born in my house." Then the Lord God came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but a son that is from your own body will be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look up toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So will your descendants be." God gave him a something to hold on to, an image, a vision of what God could see. He wanted Abraham to see that same thing. And the only thing that he could muster up was the stars of the sky. And he also goes over here and says the sand of the sea. But let's see here. "Your descendants shall be." Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." But Abraham said, "Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, now this is, they're going to start going into covenant right now. Okay, and we're going to actually read through what covenant looks like between God and man. "Lord God, how may I know that I will possess?" And he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Now later on, those same things are going to be brought back up when we start talking about the Mosaic law and the priesthood. Those are those same things right there. "Then Abram brought all of these to him and cut them in two and laid each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. When the birds of prey came down on the carcass, Abram drove them away." Now, I love this part. And there was, at one point, Tiana, she helps back with the youth sometime too, but she was speaking one night back there specifically about this verse, and we were talking about it. And ever since then, I look at this verse totally different, because there is a time when you have to protect your covenant. When you know that there is something happening. And Abram here had to do something about it. Why didn't God drive them away? It's him and God. God's the one that said, "Get me these," and then cut them down. And why didn't God just drive them away? Why was the birds even allowed to come near the covenant that's being made right now? Abram, he had to do something. He drove them away. That tells him how precious this was, this covenant that was for him. "As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram in terror, and a great darkness fell on him. And he said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your descendants will live as strangers in the land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. I wonder who he's talking about. We know who is enslaved for 400 years, and we're going to see it again right here. God told Abram at this time that that was going to happen, but he gave him a promise that they're coming out. Amen. But I will judge the nation that they serve, and afterwards they will come out of a great oppression. For you will go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will return here, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet completed. Then the sun went down, and it was dark, and a smoking fire pot with a flaming torch passed between the pieces. What does that sound like that we know maybe happened in Acts 2? Amen? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, was here on earth and went through the covenant here. The sun went down and it was dark. A smoking fire pot with a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. Covenant was broken between God and man. The plan was at work. The plan of redemption is at play. Amen. Glory to God. In a covenant, promises are made on both sides. Names are exchanged, and the whole transaction is sealed in blood. Last time I just barely mentioned, and we didn't go into the scriptures tonight, but Abraham shed his blood through circumcision, the seal of his covenant with God. Since God is a spirit, we know God is a spirit, amen, he had Abram shed the blood of animals to ratify his part of the covenant. Amen? Then according to the true covenant rules, he gave Abram a new name. Amen. We're going to just take a look at that. Let's go into Genesis 17. And we'll start at verse 1. Genesis 17. Hallelujah. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am mighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between you and me and will exceedingly multiply you. Glory to God. That's part of the covenant. Amen. And guess what? We have a better covenant, better promises. Hallelujah. Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make the nations of you, and the kings come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. To be God to you and your descendants after you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see how this covenant starts taking place. Amen. But then something happens. For a long while, I was very confused of why this was happening. They had the baby. Abraham and Sarah had an heir. His name was Isaac, the son of promise. Amen. It was miraculous. It was wonderful being born of 99 and 100-year-old man. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. We don't see this in the word sacrifice, a human sacrifice. What is this all about? What is going on here? What am I reading? Why is this happening? But we're going to see what goes on here. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, through whom Abraham had been told his descendants would be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Abraham obeyed. Glory to God. Let's go over to Hebrews 11:19. Glory to God, and we are so happy he did. Hebrews 11:19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up. Now, this is what Abraham is thinking. Abraham obeyed because the word of God says he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He said, if God is asking me to sacrifice my son, then God, you are faithful that you're even going to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense. Let's go to the next one. By faith, Isaac blessed blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Let's see here. I need to go into my Bible because I can't see enough to... By faith, Isaac... Okay, let's go to Hebrews. Let me just look it up. It's hard to go off of that when in the Bible you can see where you're going, so let me just make sure. Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to 17. Let's just back it up just a little bit here, just kind of see where we're at. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up him his only begotten son. Of him, God said, through Isaac shall your seed be named. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he indeed received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And he goes through the different things. This is the faith chapter right here, and it's really great. And it goes through different people that had faith. But we see a glimpse of what was inside Abraham's heart, of the struggle of, okay, God, are you able? Are you faithful? He counted him faithful. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. He was even able to raise him up even from the dead. That's faith. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Romans 4:21. All right, let's go back to verse 20, please, on that, Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Amen? Can we say fully persuaded? He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Glory to God. What God had promised, he was able to perform. Are we fully persuaded? Are we fully persuaded of what God had promised us, he is able to perform? Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham was. We need to be. Our covenant's on better. Our covenant is a better covenant. Better promises. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Genesis 22 and let's look at the account of what's happening here between Abraham and his son Isaac. Abraham was not the only one in faith here. We can see Isaac in this also. Just Genesis 22. Hallelujah. Let's just start at verse 1 here, Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Verse 3, so Abraham rose up early. He was eager. He was eager to do the thing of what the Lord said. Amen. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood and for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place that God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place from a distance. Abraham said to his young man, stay here, said his young men, stay here with the donkeys. The boy and I will go over there and worship and then return to you. The boy and I will go over there and worship and then return to you. Return. Him and the boy will return. There's a faith statement there. He knew that his God... hallelujah, is able to perform what he said, hallelujah, what he said he would do. Glory to God. He was even speaking it before. Amen. So Abraham, so let's go to verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. They also say that Isaac was not a little boy. He was about 12 to 16 years old. So Abraham, being a very old man, I'm not sure if he'd be able to lift Isaac and put him on the altar. Did it say he bound his son and his son was trying to run away and trying to catch him, and now Isaac's figuring it out that his dad's trying to sacrifice him? And no, there's a part that Isaac had to play too. Isaac probably had to get up on the altar. Can you imagine? That would be really hard for me to do. I'm sorry, that would be very hard for me to do. But obviously Abraham taught his son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am, son." Then he said, "Here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" He's getting a little clue here. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide, hallelujah, for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them, then they came to a place that God had told him. So Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood, and he bound Isaac, his son. It does say bound right there. Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, because now I know that you fear God." The word fear there means honor God. It doesn't mean you're scared. It means you honor, you reverence God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called that place of the Lord, that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, hallelujah. And then God reminds him of the covenant. Let's go to verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram out of heaven a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son from me, I will indeed bless you. I will indeed multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will possess the gate of your enemies." He was going through all the things that he had promised in the covenant. Amen. Glory to God. Because of Abraham's covenant with God and his faith and willingness to sacrifice his son, the way was paved for God. Abraham's covenant partner to sacrifice his son. We call this a type and a shadow. There had to be a way to do this. And God was going to offer up his son. The way was made for Jesus, the spotless, eternal covenant sacrifice, to legally come into the earth to redeem mankind. Hallelujah. We can all say, thank you, Abraham, for doing that. Amen. Glory to God. All right, we're going to go a little bit further here. We only have about 10 more minutes, but I want to get a little bit further into this. One of the things that I didn't get to say last week when we were talking about Dr. Livingston. Stanley was sent out to go find Dr. Livingston from the Queen. They couldn't find Dr. Livingston. He was there somewhere lost in Africa, and they finally found a man that would do the job, and Stanley was him. And so Stanley went through a whole bunch of different things, fighting off lions and making covenants with different tribes, trying to find this man, Dr. Livingston. So he finally comes up to this tribe that has word that there's a light-colored man there. And So from a far distance, he's trying to see who this is, and it looks like this wild man that has this crazy hair, this long white beard that's all just, and he's wearing these tribal clothes, and he has this staff, and he's like, oh, wow, because in his head, Dr. Livingston, he had a different idea of who this might be. So he gets up a little closer, and Dr. Livingston lifts up his hand, and down his arm, you can see the covenants that were broken. And then these famous words were said by Dr. Stanley. And he says, Dr. Livingston, I presume. And for us, can people recognize the covenant that we have with the living God? Can they tell in the way we are raising our children? They should be able to see something. Can they tell by the way that we talk, the way that we walk, how our marriage is, how we work, our ethics, our character? Is there something that they can see on the outside that we are in covenant with a living God in every area of our life, in our finances, in our joy, in our peace? Hallelujah. They should be saying, wow, okay. You must, a Christian, I presume? I don't know how they would say that, but you can get the idea of, wow, they are a follower of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just going to go over this just real quick here, just to kind of lay a little bit of groundwork for next week. But we're going to start talking about the covenant people, Israel. And we're going to talk about something called the Passover and something that happened to Egypt with the death angel. And it gets a little deep, but it's really, really good about how we know that God is our protection also. Amen. So the power that we have in the blood of Jesus and the covenant that we have is everything. He's blessing us and providing for us. Hallelujah. And he is protecting us with the blood. Amen. All those things that we know that is in the covenant, ours is based on a better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is our teacher showing us these things. And as we walk out of this place, Holy Spirit, bring it to our remembrance of how we need to have, people need to recognize the covenant of the living God that's on our life. Father God, that everything that we do, everything that we say, Lord, is showing you, Father God. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that was shed for us, for our sin, that you took our place on that cross that we were supposed to be on, that you took our place in hell. So Jesus took those keys of death, hell, and the grave when he resurrected on that third day. Glory to God. And he made a show of the enemy openly. And now we have the victory, and that you have given us authority over the world and over Satan himself. Hallelujah. Because of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. We apply the blood of the Lamb over ourselves, over our families, over this church, over this ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let someone know you're blessed, amen. You are dismissed. We will see you on Sunday.